Take your message outlines and a pen and have those ready. We're going to talk about worry this morning, and I know after looking at stress last week that you guys are all familiar with this topic. I knew a guy who had been worrying about his health, and he was just a worrywart, and he finally went to his doctor, and his doctor looked at him and checked him out. He says, "You're fine." He said, "You're going to live till you're 60. The guy said, "But I am 60. And the doctor said, "See, I told you." The guy kept worrying, and then he had to go on a plane trip and go across the country and visit some folks. So he was really fretting about it, so he figured, okay, I'll buy some flight insurance. So he got some flight insurance in the terminal, and then fortunately he was in first class. He got a nice Chinese meal as he's flying in the plane. He opens up his fortune cookie. And his fortune cookie says, "A recent investment will pay great dividends." Of course, now he's really worrying. Then he hits some turbulence, and the plane is getting a little choppy. He's calling the stewardess over. He says, "Ma'am," he says, "tell me about the reliability of this jet." He says, "How often do these jets crash?" And she said, "Well, sir, typically only once." So that didn't calm his nerves any. And so then she could see he was visibly upset, and she said, "Don't worry, if it's your time, it's your time." And he said, "Yeah, but what if it's the pilot's time? It's not my time." We all worry about a lot of things. We all have things that are our pet topics. And what I want you to see this morning, you see it right on the top of your outline there, is the myth that you and I believe, is that I can control something. I can control the outcome of a situation if I just worry about it. That's really what we think. If I worry about my kids, my wife, my marriage, my job, my finances, whatever it might be, the economy, the country, if I worry about it, I can actually control that. Maybe I can control the uncontrollable, and I have some effect over it. But that myth is what makes you and I miserable when it comes to worry. Because the truth is, and we're going to look at the words of Jesus this morning, that worry does nothing regarding the situation. It only makes us miserable. It's doing without doing. It has no effect on the situation. So in Matthew chapter 6, at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us some reasons. In that passage I read earlier, and he says, here's some things I want you to understand, some reasons that is unnecessary why you shouldn't worry. And then he gives a few antidotes to worry. Now, probably the most difficult command in the Bible is Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Did you say that's difficult? When you strive to be obedient to God's word and you see a verse like that, and yet God tells you that if you do worry, there's something here that you should be aware of. Because actually the root word in English for worry, it actually means to choke or to strangle from the Old English. And in fact, the Greek word literally means a divided mind. And so when you see that word worry, it is this internal tug of war that is pulling one way or the other, that is choking, that is strangling the life out of you. And you say, well, that's why I feel miserable. So what's the truth about worry? Matthew 6. Get your outline there and your pen. There's five things Jesus says in Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34 about worry. And the first thing is right there in verse 25. This is where you write in, worry is unreasonable. Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? What he's saying here is worrying doesn't make sense. So here's Jesus still talking to us today, as current as it could be, and he's saying there's more important things in life that you should be concerned about. And we tend to worry about materialistic things, external things. And he's saying that's just not important. It's irrational. He says, so several reasons why worry is unreasonable. We worry about the wrong thing. That's what Jesus is saying in this verse here. He says, if you want to worry about something that is of the eternal nature, not something that's external, temporal. Okay, that's the first thing. We worry about the wrong thing. On top of that, he says, worrying about something to change it is useless. If you can change it, change it. If you can't, don't worry about it. And on top of that, worry is illogical, irrational, unreasonable, because worrying always exaggerates the problem. It focuses your thoughts and your emotions on it, and it blows it out of proportion. Here's the second thing Jesus says, verse 26. This is where you write in, worry is unnatural. Unnatural. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And then he says in the next verse, in verse 28, and why worry about your clothes? Look at the field lilies. They don't worry about theirs. Yet King Solomon in all his glory was not clothed as beautifully as they. So he takes an illustration, a lesson from nature. He wants to communicate to us how unnatural worry is. And so first he talks about birds. And I got to tell you, if I have a hobby, it's birds. I love to feed birds. I love to watch birds. I have bird nests, boxes all over my fence. I love birds. But if there's anybody on God's welfare roll, I got to tell you, it's birds. Is there any other creature that gets fed more, bird baths, watered more than birds? And they don't do a lot. They don't function a lot. I mean, they're not consumed, they're not livestock, sure, they're pretty, they sing, they're enjoyable, and all those things. But what God is saying in perspective of the birds, he says, look, I take care of birds. Are not you much more valuable than they? And then he moves from bird watching to botany, and he's talking about flowers. He says, look at the flowers. And if you've ever really looked at a flower up closely, it's incredible. If you look at the intricacy and the delicacy and how complicated the structure of most flowers are that God has created, and he takes so much detail and exquisite care in the construction of a flower that's going to last, what, 6 weeks maybe? And so Jesus says, look, God clothes the lilies of the field and he takes care of them. He's taking care of the birds. And so he says to you and I, he says, don't worry. Here's the point. He says, animals don't worry. He says, flowers don't worry. He says, everything in all of God's creation that is created and praises him and fulfills their purpose in life doesn't worry. And the only creature that doesn't trust God and worries is who? Human beings. Everything else in all of God's creation trusts him, doesn't worry about anything. We are the only thing that worries. Psalm 145:16, though, it says, God satisfies the desire of every living thing. All creation trusts God except man. You see, the point that Jesus is saying here is not only is worry unreasonable, not only is it unnatural, he's saying you weren't born to worry. God did not create you, believe it or not, to worry. It is a learned response. You learned about worry from your peers, your parents, your siblings, from the media. It is a learned response, and you can unlearn it. You don't have to hold on to it. You don't have to be a worrywart. You don't have to have it impact you physically, negatively. And you hear somebody say, man, I'm worried sick. It does. It makes you sick. You're right. Proverbs 12:25, an anxious heart weighs a man down. Proverbs 14:30, a heart at peace gives life to the body. Worry causes more fatigue than work. There is more fatigue, more insomnia, more tiredness, more soreness, more physical ills from worry, they do this study all the time, than from work. Notice it says there, though, your Father knows your needs. Did you notice that? Not the bird's Father, but your Father, God. God cares for them. God cares for you as a heavenly Father. God says, aren't you more valuable? Don't you think I'll take care more of you? I take care of the rest of the world, of the plants, of the animals. Don't you think, as the crown of my creation, I would take care more of you than these? Look at number 3, verse 27. This is where you write, worry is unhelpful. Jesus says it doesn't work, it's useless. Verse 27. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? So why do you worry? It only makes us miserable. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't add a single day to my life by worrying about it. It's a worthless use of my energy. Nothing that I can imagine or worry or try to control that's uncontrollable in my life. It just makes me miserable. Jesus says it's unhelpful. Jesus says it doesn't work. And he says it's not only unhelpful, he says it's unnecessary. Look at number 4, verse 30. Worry is unnecessary. This is the real meat of what Jesus is trying to say. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you, O you of little faith? He says there's no need to worry because God has promised over and over in his word that he'll care for you if you'll just trust him. He's your heavenly father. He will care for you as a child of God. He says, don't worry, I'll take care of you. And he says, if you've really stepped across that line, you put your trust in Christ for your salvation, and you say, Christ, I want you in my heart. I am a child of God. I praise you for changing me. From the inside out, I want to be in God's family. God, you have assumed responsibility for my needs, for my care. You have promised that you will care for me, so I don't have to worry. You said it's unnecessary. He even says he does it because we're valuable. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs. Well, does that include car payments? Yes, it does. Does that include a mortgage payment? Yes, it does. Does that include hospital and doctor bills? Yes, it does. When you need new shoes or school supplies, does it cover that? Yes, it does. God says, I'll supply all of your needs. Now, he didn't say I'll supply all your greed, but he said I'll supply all of your needs. Worry always indicates that you and I have a misunderstanding of what God is like. Worry always indicates that I don't understand what God is really like, his nature. If I misunderstand him, if I can't trust him, if I'm going to worry, the issue really isn't the issue or the worry. It's just who do I think God is? The nature, the heart, the quality of God. Do I think God will say that he'll do what he says he'll do? We always get into trouble when we doubt God's love, God's care. Now, if I can trust God for my salvation, if I can trust God for my eternal destiny and where I will spend eternity in the far difference that there is between heaven and hell, if I can trust God for the most important thing that could possibly be in my life, can't he be trusted for everything else? That's what it says in Romans 8. I said, God, I'm trusting you with my eternal salvation. I'm trusting you that you will save me from eternal damnation. I'm trusting you that I will spend an eternity in heaven. You have solved my biggest problem that I couldn't change on my own. You have forgiven all of my guilt and my sins. But I'll take care of my own finances. I'll take care of my own marriage. I'll raise my children under my own thinking. Thank you very much. You see how ludicrous that is? God says, if I saved you, if I've solved your biggest problem, any other thing that you face is minor by comparison. So Jesus says, look, guys, it's not only unreasonable, unnatural, unhelpful, and unnecessary. You don't need to worry, Philippians 4:19. I'll supply all your needs, emotional, spiritual, mental, relational, if you'll just trust me. So it really boils down to number five. Look at five in your outline. Worry is unchristian. Unchristian. When you and I worry, we become functional atheists. Okay? You act as if God doesn't exist. You and I act as if God will not do what he promised to do. So I would propose to you, worry is unchristian. Now listen, non-believers ought to worry. They've got a great reason to worry. If I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I would be worried sick. All you have to do is pick up the paper, turn on the television, listen to the radio. There are an unending litany of things to worry about in our world, our society today, in our families, in our communities, in our world, in our personal lives. There's all kinds of things to worry about. And if I didn't have the promise of God and Christ in my life, if I had no contact with God through Jesus Christ, I would have every reason to worry because good night, I'd have to be out there on my own. I'd have to make it in this dog-eat-dog world on my own. But God says, Christians are different. We don't have to worry because we have a Heavenly Father that has said over and over and over, I will supply all your needs. God says, you guys are my children, but you're acting like orphans every time you worry. You're saying, I really don't think, Father, you will do what you promised to do for me. That's what worry says. Notice he says, your Heavenly Father knows you need them. How often do we act like God is unaware of the house payment, the car payment, that past due medical bill? God, you're unaware of these areas in my life, and I need to worry about them. I really don't believe, God, that you will help me out of this mess, and I've got to start thinking like it all depends upon me, and if it's going to be, it's up to me, and I've got to take these matters into my own hand, and I've got to assume all responsibility and affect what needs to happen under my own ingenuity and my own power. You see, what worrying is playing God. So before we go on to the second part, the antidote to worry, you see that on your outline there? What I want you to do right now is just stop right here and write on your outline with your pen or pencil your greatest worry. Now, if your greatest worry is the person next to you, just draw a little arrow with a point going towards them. But Jesus gave us the Sermon on the Mount because he not only gave us the truth about worrying, everything we've just covered, but he says, here are five things you shouldn't worry about. But then he goes to this antidote and he says, you know what? I am going to give you an application, a solution. Here are three steps and how you overcome worry. So he not only presents the problem, but he gives problem resolution, and he says, here's what you need to do, the antidote to worry. One, write this in. Put God first in every area of my life. Matthew 6:32-33. Put God first in every area of my life. Because he says, your Heavenly Father already knows perfectly well what you need, and he will give them to you if, that's a capital if, you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to do. Now, folks, worry is like a warning light, like an indicator on your dashboard. And it means something's out of whack, something's wrong. Something else has taken first place in my life, and I have edged God out, and I have put myself in his place. And if God is not number one, then worry is going to be an issue. But then Jesus goes on and says, do number two. Live just one day at a time. Write that in with number two. Live just one day at a time. Second thing Jesus says to do to overcome worry, not only put God first place in every area of my life, and then all these other things will be given to you, but then he says in verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, we all agree with that verse. We all read that verse. We all like that verse. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't open up your umbrella until it starts to rain. He's saying, don't worry. Focus on today. And there are 2 days of the week that you should never worry about. You know what those are? Yesterday and tomorrow. Because today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. So you've seen the bumper sticker, one day at a time. Why should I live one day at a time? Because in worrying about the problems of tomorrow, you will miss today's blessings that God has for you and add on additional issues and problems by the worry of it. Because God does not give you grace for tomorrow, He gives you grace for today. Matthew 6:11, Jesus says, give us today our monthly bread. No, that's not what it says. Matthew 6:11, give us today our weekly bread. No, it doesn't say that, does it? No, give us today our daily bread. Why? Why did he say it that way? Because he wants you to depend upon him one day at a time. Just one day at a time, he says. That's all I ask. Just depend upon me moment by moment. It's a wonderful thing. God gave us life in 24-hour increments. And look at number three. Trust God to care for things beyond your control. So I put God first in every area of my life. I live one day at a time. And then this third instruction, I trust God to care for the things beyond my control. Because you see, the root of worry is up there in verse 30. And it stinks where he says, you of little faith. He's talking to us. Because he says, worry and trust can't live in the same part. When you invite worry in the front door of your heart and mind, faith goes out the back. And worry will stay in your heart and mind until you get to the point where you invite faith in the front door. And when faith returns in the front door, worry will go out the back door. Worry and faith are mutually exclusive. They cannot operate together. So I have to decide, am I going to trust my worries to God? There's a lot of things that are beyond my control that concern me. They're not beyond His control, and He'll help you. Philippians 4, 6, 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. He says, don't worry, but pray. Romans 8, 32. Since God didn't spare even His own Son for us, but gave Him up for us, won't He surely give us everything else? Now just stop. Just look up there. If God loved you enough to become creation and send Jesus to die for you individually, and He had you in mind when He fulfilled that purpose, if God loved you enough to do that, don't you think He loves you enough to care for every other need that you will have? 2 Chronicles 20, it's a beautiful story. King of Israel, Jehoshaphat, he's about to go into battle. Three enemy nations, he's outnumbered 3-1. There's no way he is going to win this battle. He goes into battle. God, if you allow me to paraphrase, says this. Wait a minute, Jehoshaphat. I want to tell you something before you go into battle. You're not even going to need to fight in this battle because I'm going to fight it for you. In other words, the battle is not yours, but God's. Now let me ask you, what has got you worried this morning? Finances, health, conflict and relationship. Don't know what you're going to do with the rest of your life. Might lose your job. Marriage issues, family issues, whatever it is. The battle is not yours, it's God's. You stand still and see that the salvation and the Spirit of the Lord is with you. You see the angels and the chariots of fire around you, and you understand that He will work on your behalf if you just trust Him, if you put Him first in every area of your life, if you live one day at a time, if you allow Him to handle the things under His power that are out of your control, and you quit playing God. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, there are a lot of worries represented in this room right now this morning. I wouldn't have any idea what they all are, but You do, Lord. You know every one of them. You've cataloged them. You've seen them. You know the crisis of the souls of the people here today. We thank You that we don't have to worry about that, that it's unnatural, unnecessary, even unchristian. We thank You that You promised to care for our needs when we place our lives in Your hand, when we put You first in our lives. And so, Father, today, for each and every individual here this morning, I pray that we would all take these steps personally again, put You first in every area of our life, live one day at a time, trusting You moment by moment, and we want to trust You for the things that are beyond our control. God, You know what I'm worried about. And You know that part of our worry is that we don't know how to handle situations that come our way. In fact, we can't. But we know You can. And Father, we just pray that You would use these situations and our worry to draw us closer to You again. We pray that in Jesus' name.